at the moment, there's not a real understanding of lateral flexion and comparing side to side, but there is a bit of a feeling out there that your flexion to extension ratio, we need to be above 0.6 to give ourselves confidence that the neck is strong to be able to handle the forces of a 360 degree nature of the game of football.
I've been a part of Prepare Like a Pro for about 2 months now, and already I've seen improvements in all areas such as explosiveness, speed, strength and muscle gain. All of that has had a positive impact on my football, which is why I think that the program is so easy to get done, and it motivates you to finish each session and complete it all, just because you know that what you're doing is directly contributing to your performance on a weekend or how you're going to play in the future. And if you improve, which Jack does, he tailors specifically to the athlete and where they're at and what they need to work on. And just to touch on Jack, super nice bloke, and just makes it really easy from the start.
Hello and welcome to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. Make sure if you haven't already to subscribe to my YouTube channel to receive a notification and never miss a live interview. I hope you enjoyed this interview, and please share with a friend or a teammate that you think will value this episode. Let's go.
All right, today I'll be discussing how to protect young AFL footballers from concussion. Been lucky enough at the Melbourne Football Club where we've had Joel Garrett, who's completed his PhD on the topic, doing some research with AFL athletes. He's had a range of different clubs that he's been able to have access to their squads and do some neck strength testing, which I'll talk about that protocol a bit later on, but also some PD with Brian Field, the head physiotherapist, who's also completed his PhD around this topic, and he's at the Brumbies. So both had some different takeaways that I'm applying when working with an athlete with concussion, and I feel like for parents listening out there, particularly of young footballers, these are some simple exercises that you can start adding to your child's routine to help mitigate concussion injuries, but also ultimately improve their ability to play the game and hopefully play for longer by protecting their head, protecting their brain. So most games missed at AFL level do come from concussions. It's highly prevalent, unfortunately. And obviously the severity of symptoms gets worse by depending on the cases that you have and your family history and a few other individual constraints. So what we do want to control are things like your tackle technique under fatigue. Are you going head first or are you driving with your foot and shoulder first? What's your anxiety around contact? So making sure if your child is anxious around contact work, they're probably going to be fearful, they're going to be tense, it's going to transfer onto the game, and there's a bit of a feel out there with concussion experts that puts them at risk. So we want them to have confidence in their technique and understanding what success feels like with tackle technique, both fresh but also under fatigue, where potentially they're not going to think as sharp, and also in real contact situations. If they're an aerial player, practicing it over and over again with aerial marking. If they're more ground ball, ground based, make sure they're doing it with in those contexts as well as a inside mid or forward. So really important that you transfer it to the game. For the coaches listening out there, if you're looking after local football clubs, get kids practicing one-on-one, practicing in a controlled format early on and getting used to being tackled. What we do know is most concussions happen from the tackler, so not from the ball carrier. So that should help you inform in terms of your exercise selections and drills, improving the efficiency of the tackle technique, because the tacklers are at risk, particularly when they're going through that head first strategy and typically head down. More from an objective point of view, and Joel's, there seems to be a higher risk if your flexion to extension ratio, so flexion being when we're pressing forwards to the way that you're facing compared to extension being pressing back behind you. We want to have a ratio of above 0.6, the research is showing at the moment. It is important to understand there's not a lot of research on AFL athletes in this space, so it's pretty new. But at the moment, there's not a real understanding of lateral flexion and comparing side to side, but there is a bit of a feeling out there that your flexion to extension ratio, we need to be above 0.6 to give ourselves confidence that the neck is strong to be able to handle the forces of a 360 degree nature of the game of football. So working on that, doing some testing if you have access to bold tech where you can do some neck isometrics where ultimately athletes will do a set at 80%, 90%, and then 95 to 100% of their maximal force, and they're trying to get to that force as quickly as possible. Joel mentioned the importance of not building the force over 5 to 10 seconds, but actually that rate of force for it to be transferable to the game. Obviously, when someone hits you, particularly behind or to the side, and you don't see it coming, it's instantaneous. So we want to make sure our neck is really strong at being able to develop forces rapidly, quick. So working on that in the gym, you can do it both yielding with a cable attached to the plyo, where if they don't get in a good position, tucking the chin, making sure they're in a nice upright posture, they're not shrugging their shoulders, using their upper traps, they're using all their neck muscles, both flexors and extensors. So make sure you're working on that flexion, work on extension, and work on lateral flexion both ways. So four different directions, and also holding that for 5 seconds per rep. Or you can also do it overcoming as well, so into a band, into a strap, where you hit the same positions, but the athletes can more work on that rate of development, that rate of force, when there's not a cable pull at the back and they're not yielding. So work both qualities. We want strength, so you want to be able to hold heavy weight and progressively overload that over time on the cable machine, but also work isometrically, that rate of force development as well. That was really important, so you've got that rapid speed. Obviously, if you've got a deficit, so if your flexion is really weak compared to your extension, you're below that 0.6, do extra work on your flexion. Other things that Brian Field mentioned was the importance of not just a weak neck, but also your poor techniques. As I mentioned, the tackle technique, particularly under fatigue, and look and filming it and showing the athletes, giving them feedback. Are they going head first, explaining what they need to do to set their front foot and front shoulder to lead with the shoulder and the feet and the hips, not leading with their head and putting themselves in vulnerable positions. I think for those that are anxious and not confident in their contact work in the off-season, pre-season, or just once a week, even in-season, getting them into a grappling MMA where they're doing tumbling, they're doing wrestling, and then just getting exposed to that extra contact, it's going to help develop. Obviously, we want strong neck, but also we want strong trunk, core strength in those positions. So I think looking at the whole body globally as well, it's not going to, certainly not going to hurt. It's only going to help to have good contact strength, but also for you to feel more comfortable in those uncomfortable situations of having being in contact and ultimately working on your tackle technique. Like I said, the importance of for coaches out there to expose their athletes to chaos, making sure that they're sharp with their reactions and they're being able to be exposed to match intensity during the week, so they're more than ready to perform on game day. But also from a physical point of view, they've had that body contacts as well, those collisions in training. So they've kept that hardness up. As we all know, if you play contact sports and you don't have contact for a long period of time and then you get into it, you're more likely for your head to move around and not feel as strong in those collisions and bumps. A couple of papers as well that are interesting for those athletes dealing with concussion and their return to play. There's some notable, it takes a long time, not just the 21-day protocol for the 12-day protocol for an athlete with their decision-making and skill acquisition. So from a performance point of view, we want to be exposing them to as much decision-making as possible. It's not going to bring on strong symptoms. But challenging that decision-making, they can do that simply by tracking a player if they're not involved in training. And then also you can use a virtual reality-based technology to be able to challenge that decision-making and doing reactive work. To just get that decision-making process happening. And ultimately, it's a skill. So if you don't use it, you lose it. So understand trying to bridge that gap of when an athlete's not training with the squad and they're just focusing on those cardiovascular progressions every 24 hours, whether it be from light to moderate to more high-intensity conditioning. We can also be challenging them from a vestibular point of view. So that VOMS, vestibular ocular motor screening, there's a couple of good papers that I'll add in the show notes to get a better understanding of those. But if you're looking out for athletes that are concussed, making sure we're challenging their VOMS early on and use that training for feedback and also to improve their reactivity. So if you've got any questions on this topic, parents, coaches, reconditioning coaches, athletes, of course, make sure to reach out. Certainly I'm not claiming to be an expert in the area, but I'm just trying to share helpful information that I've either been privy to at the club I work at or in the resources that are out there. So make sure to stay up to date. It's a fast moving space is concussion. Be it both preventing concussion is incredibly new, but also how to deal with an athlete that's concussed and bring them back to return to play because we know that their decision making and skills does take a long time, and it's well after that 12 days. So for performance, but also for well-being, we want to make sure we maximize those athletes to prevent them having another concussion, of course. So reach out if you have any questions. I'm more than happy. I'm going to do a blog post as well, so make sure to stay tuned if you prefer to read these topics and jump on our email list for to be able to find that. I'll email it out to our list. But shout out to all our Academy members. I've just uploaded over 30 new videos, both for acceleration, agility, and sprinting drills, both with technique focus areas as well as coaching cues. So check that out. That's in the exercise library section of the Academy. Next high performance interview is with Nick Poulos. I've moved that to Wednesday the 6th at 11 a.m. So make sure to tune in for that. If you've got any questions for Nick, he's had a long history in both working in rugby, but also Adelaide Crows are now managing the GWS program. So he's done a great job in the industry. So make sure to send in your questions there. We're going to be talking about behind the scenes of high performance sport. And then I'm catching up with the Academy members in half an hour. So if you miss that live Zoom call, which all members are welcome, as well as I've reached out to our whole email list to join me on Zoom live, where I'll present on the AFL reconditioning philosophy. And then that will, Academy members will have access to that. So it won't go to the podcast, just Academy members in the Get Better Plan section of our Academy. I'll be breaking down philosophy, systems, processes, challenges of the role, and also key aspects. So for strength and conditioning coaches out there that are interested in being a reconditioning coach, this is the perfect presentation for you. So if you're interested, make sure to join our Academy. It's only $20 a month. You get access to not only drills and lots of practical advice, but heaps of AFL-specific content. And of course, if you're interested in joining our Academy as a footballer, you get that for free on our 14-day trial. So join the program, click the link in our Instagram bio. Not only get access to a high-performance program for AFL, but also our Academy, where we've got plenty of content there from high-performance training, recovery, nutrition, lifestyle tips, and heaps more. So make sure to jump on. If you're not sure where to get started, jump in my calendar. I've got a calendar link set up where we can have a 15-minute discovery call and work out what's the best fit for your goals and whether we can help you maximize your athlete development. Thanks for listening in. I look forward to catching up with you on our next interview with Nick Poulos. Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening. Remember to rate the show and subscribe to our YouTube channel to never miss a live Q&A. Look forward to seeing you on the next one.